G'day race fans, is it over for Oscar Piastri? It was a statement drive from Lando Norris extending his lead in the World Championship by now 24 points. We saw plenty of action over the weekend in the sprint race and in the feature race. Red flags, accidents, penalties, it had it all. But the question I want to pose to you, Mick, we didn't get that statement drive that we were hoping for or predicting, but does this signal the end for Oscar Piastri for that 2025 World Championship title?
Lando definitely has one hand on that trophy now. Unfortunately, we needed Oscar to at least keep that gap a lot smaller than what it ended up being. Max Verstappen now is probably a bridge too far. He's going to definitely need a lot of luck to get this one done. So, yeah, as an Oscar fan, man, I was Toto Wolff all weekend. God damn it.
There's still quite a few points on the table. There's, what, three race weekends with a sprint weekend. So if our maths are correct, it's 83 points maximum is still up for grabs.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think Max is probably a bridge too far as, you know, he needs a lot of luck now, like a ton of luck. Thought he was going to get the double win this weekend and eat into that championship, and then that was a stepping stone of getting back into it without having to require on too much luck. But you're right. Oscar's side, he needed that statement drive. And again, Lando has delivered. It was a championship weekend for Lando. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a championship last three races, you could say, really. Mate, the dude is just looks comfortable, looks relaxed, just on top of his game. What a season, though. Like, it just goes to show, mate, it's not over till the fat lady sings, right? Everyone was like, oh, Oscar's got this in the bag. Nah, man. Nah, that's the script has completely flipped.
All right, let's get stuck straight in with McLaren. Big talking point, the penalty, the 10-second penalty for Oscar Piastri going down the inside at turn one after that restart. What do you make of that? Because naturally that is going to be quite heatedly debated over the next few days on social media, no doubt.
Yeah, look, man, 10 seconds, my opinion, probably a little bit too harsh. Look, he got a mad run off that restart. I think Kimi spun the rears up, taking off, and Oscar just had a mad run, and he had to go for it, right? Like, you already lost 8 points in the championship. You needed to have a dig, and he certainly did that. You watch the onboard footage, man. The only reason he locked up is because he saw Kimi wasn't going to give him the room, so he had to stand on the brakes a little bit more. I would say probably more racing incident. I think 10 seconds was probably too harsh, too much. Like, where was he supposed to go? Like, I mean, you saw Charles, man. Charles gave him heaps of room because he knew that Kimi would have needed to give Oscar room.
Even in the post-race interviews, Charles did mention that he felt that there was a partial blame on Kimi as well. He said it was sort of 50-50 because he felt that Kimi should have given Oscar more room on the inside. The way I looked at it, when I first saw it happen from sort of like an overhead view, I was like, oh, mate, he's done. He's cooked. Because of the lockup, you see the smoke. But then when I saw the onboard of Oscar, I was like, oh, come on, hold on a minute. Like, I mean, okay, there was a bit of a lockup, but he was still able to hook the car left.
Yeah, he was still in control.
So he was still in control. So the first initial reaction was with the smoke, oh, he's out of control, locked up. But when you actually watch the onboard, the wheel is, yes, locking, spinning. He's still in control. He's not going straight ahead, okay?
Yeah.
So for me, I thought it was on the harsh side, but I can definitely, when you go by the rule book, I can understand the penalty, but for me, it was definitely 50-50. I was leaning more towards a racing incident.
Oh, man, for me, 100% a racing incident. Look, if you want to go off the rule book, he would have been better off just diving up the inside, getting to the apex first, and lifting off, and just whatever happens, happens. Because he was first at the apex. He took three cars out, wouldn't have mattered because he was first at the apex. Like, I mean, he locked it up. He was still in control, man. He had nowhere to go. He was on the white line. If he had the room, one, Oscar wouldn't have locked up because he wouldn't have had to brake check himself because Kimi was turning down.
Exactly.
And he would have definitely made that corner. He was not out of control at all.
I wonder if they would have, like, looked at it differently. If there was no smoke, no lockup, I really would love to know if they would have still given that 10-second penalty. Because, like I said, it's the optics, the initial optics of it with the lockup makes it seem like he's out of control. But when you look again, like I said, on the onboard, he's still in control, hooking it left. And like you said, he has to hit the brakes harder as Kimi comes across. And Kimi could have given him more room.
Oh, man. Kimi could have given him heaps more room, man.
And this is why I lean more towards a 50-50 and more of a racing incident rather than just, Oscar, it's all on you. But at the end of the day, poor old Charlie Leclerc copped the brunt and it ended his race. Again, you know, you look at these little moments where, well, you know, you got qualifying done, probably not in that position. It was a tough one, definitely a tough one. And, yeah, it will be debated for most of this week, I think, that 10-second penalty.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, I still think Norris would have won because Norris is clearly still had a tenth or two over him. Oscar started off the weekend well on Friday, thought he was going to be a lot closer. Look, we said he was going to be a lot closer. He was, but he was still a tenth or two off, man. You go into the sprint race, that's just luck, unlucky. If you were ahead of Lando, if you were in first place, you could have been the one that flicked the water on and the roles could have been reversed, but it wasn't the case. So that was just pure luck. But this is what you need to win a championship, right? you do need an element of luck. And at the moment, the luck's falling Norris's way.
But you make your own luck as well. That's the thing. I mean, if you look at Lando, he's getting it done in qualifying. He's starting off exactly where he needs to. Just the momentum. It's just hard to stop. And it's really hard to see Oscar peeling it back over the next few race weekends. So
look, even if Oscar gets two wins in the next two rounds, I mean, it's going to take something drastic for Norris. For Oscar to have a chance. Basically, all Lando needs to do is finish second in the next two races with Oscar winning. You know, it's not going to be enough.
Yeah, pressure's definitely on Oscar. And what I like about Lando is he looks really unflustered at the moment. He just looks on top of his game. And it's just a contrast.
Relaxed, man. Relaxed, comfortable.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned in the last video, that DNF in Zandvoort threw any pressure out the window. From that moment on, he said, I've got nothing to lose, changed his mindset. Since then, he's been relaxed, calm, is what it is. If I get it done, I get it done. If I don't, I don't. And that certainly has played a massive part to why he's in the position he's in right now.
Mercedes with the promotion this week on the back of Kimi Antonelli, the young fella getting it done. Good P2 in qualifying for both sprint and feature race and ended up there in the end. So really good points. George, good old George, bit of a funny one, George, because he made it sound like he had a horrible car.
Well, he was. He was struggling, man. He struggled.
Not a bad struggle, though. Still with, podium on the sprint?
Yeah, that car was still the second best car on the grid this weekend.
He just
for
wasn't
sure.
a happy chappy.
Yeah, like he struggled with grip. Yeah. Like we saw in the qualifying for the feature race, I think he did his last run on the mediums. He wanted to get off that soft tire for whatever reason. He felt like he couldn't get a balance. Cooler conditions, right, man? That car, cooler conditions is a machine, right? And they were certainly second best this weekend. Split strategies at the start of the feature too. I think Kimi on the soft and Russell started on the mediums. Kimi, man, I'll tell you what, he's got the wood over Russell the last two Grand Prix, hasn't
he? Yeah, looking good. Looking good, old Kimi. But even better for Mercedes. I mean, they've extended that a nice little lead in P2 and the constructors too. Just
yeah,
over,
I mean,
what,
again,
32 points, I think it is.
That's a massive weekend for them, man, in terms of that constructors.
And, you know, they'll back themselves in Las Vegas too.
If you go off pass form there, man, they're going to be super strong. Kimi, man, what a drive, dude. Like to hold off Max at the end there.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
He's looking comfortable at the moment.
You obviously want to end the season really well. Ever since the end of the European leg, Kimi has come really good.
Yeah.
Well, Red Bull, and what can you say? Just another magnificent drive from Max Verstappen. Absolute damage limitation. Sprint race was pretty lackluster. He definitely wasn't happy with that car. And, well, we saw that in qualifying with a Q1 exit on the Saturday. His first Q1 exit in a very long time. In fact, his first Q1 exit purely on merit. All the other ones have been to do with maybe a red flag or mechanical problems. Mate, it's 49 points to Lando. We both think it's a bridge too far, but you can never discount the guy. And with drives like that, how can you?
He had nothing at the start of the weekend, man. He was struggling with understeer traction. The thing was so out of balance. And then typical Red Bull decided to break curfew and go with a change of power unit, which was a massive advantage for Max come Sunday. and changed the setup back to something that they thought was a little bit more suited. And it certainly worked, man. Without that puncture, I mean, he only finished, what, 10 seconds behind Lando in the end there?
Yeah.
Now, you could probably say Lando was probably just managing his tires and knew the gap was pretty decent. But without that puncture, man, he very well could have been in a chance. Yeah, very well could have had a chance at winning that race.
I'm even interested with that final pit stop when they brought him in with, I think there was about, what, 30? Oh, I can't remember how many laps ago it was. But he was on the medium, and I thought it would have been interesting to see if he just hung on with that medium and didn't make that extra stop, whether he would have had. That, it's hard to know because I think the tire would have been okay, but I don't think the tire would have been okay driving in anger, trying to put in just quality laps back to back.
Yeah, and I mean, you had Oscar, man, was steaming at the end there too.
When the guys up front, when Lando came into the pits and then Verstappen took the lead, how big was his lead at the time? Was it like 5 or 6 seconds?
It wasn't massive.
It wasn't massive, was it? We'll never know.
Yeah, this is the thing, right? I mean, on the other side of the garage,
mate, probably one of his worst weekends.
Just
nowhere.
I mean, what, 18th, qualified 18th in the sprint, finished 13th, and then go to main qualifying. Mate, he was nowhere.
Yeah, picked up that 10-second penalty. Contact was with Stroll, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then came in to serve the penalty, which they stuffed up, so he had to then serve another penalty, which that's not on him, of course. That's on the team. But as far as his weekend, it was probably one of the worst, and it's at the time of the year you cannot have those.
Yeah. Look, I guess you could say Max was struggling, so justifies why Yuki was struggling.
The difference it's fine having a struggle, but what we see with Max is he can turn it around. He can make do of it. He can extract it. Whereas on the other side, Yuki's just lost. Yeah.
He's lost. He's got no idea. He's got no idea what to do. Doesn't know how to fix it.
Surely lacking a lot of confidence as well.
Look, he had a little bit of pace towards the end of his stint, I guess you could say. But realistically, man, he after he got that first 10-second penalty after he T-boned Stroll, that was the end of his race. And that put an end to any hope of scoring any points. But didn't have the speed all weekend.
Yeah.
Like he was nowhere. If you look at the Constructors' Championship, now with Mercedes in second and Max Verstappen in third, doesn't look good, man. It's not good enough.
Haas, promotion on the back of Ollie Bearman's massive performance in the feature race. They looked pretty pacey. And what I liked about Bearman was that his pace was, you know, through the qualifying sessions, Q1, Q2, he was right there or thereabouts. Q3 didn't quite get it done. I think he was a little bit upset with P8 start, I believe it was. Ocon, well,
qualifying, man. Fixed qualifying.
Yeah.
That's his issue, right? He's on Ocon's side of the garage, man. Every weekend it's Saturday and qualifying. And it was the same thing in the sprint race. But like you said, that car is fast. And since Austin, that car has probably been the best of the rest. And unfortunately, you're just not getting two drivers that can show it. Yeah, I guess, Ocon's side, man, he was never really in it. He started from pit lane because he changed the power unit too, I think.
I believe he also picked up a puncture around the same time when Max got his puncture as well.
Yeah, but the way it worked for Ocon was it was at the end of the VSC.
Yeah.
He came in, so that kind of screwed him. But look, man, he still finished 12th. What did he qualify? 17th.
Yeah.
Well, from pit lane and still managed to finish 12th. So imagine if he was on the fringe of the 10 in qualifying.
Maybe one that got away in the end there for Ocon. But yeah, when you're looking at Ollie, hey, he was solid. He was really solid and a good P6 finish. Good points.
Yeah, like, man, that car, what, that's his third Q3 now in the last four races. And he was unhappy with his last qualifying lap because he didn't quite nail it, so he felt like he could have got higher up. What was his strategy, man? The soft, medium, medium? I think that was probably the best strategy of the weekend, really, when you look at the guys that went on that strategy. They ended up pretty much having a pretty strong race. Fuck on, dude. You're getting outgunned, man. This is not looking good.
No experienced driver wants to get outgunned by the rook, the rookie.
But I don't know what he can do. Like, it seems like every weekend he goes in the qualifying and gets traffic or something doesn't quite work out for him.
Yeah.
And
but we know he's a quality driver. Just needs a bit of luck on his side. And
he's just not putting it together.
Yeah.
Whether that's on the team, well, I'd say that's team and him, really, on both sides. But he's got to sort it out, because at the moment, Ollie's making him look very ordinary.
Double points this week. Racing Bulls. Liam Lawson, the Minister of Defence from New Zealand, mate. One stopper. What did he do? 50-odd laps on the medium. And, well, Hadjar, I mean, mate, it went down to the final lap, didn't it? I think Hadjar almost put the pass on turn one on that final lap, but couldn't quite get it done. But both cars were looking fast. In the sprint race, one thing I noticed was, from a qualifying point of view, they were very quick. Liam got caught up in traffic on his final run, which I think he was a P17 start or somewhere down the back. But it was interesting. The race pace wasn't very good in the sprint race. They sort of Hadjar fell back, as well as Lawson sort of struggled. So despite the good qualifying for Sunday's feature race, I was a little apprehensive of what they could do in the race. And, well, they did pretty well. Now, if you look on the surface of it, and Isaac Hadjar brought it up in the post-race interviews that, well, he started, what did he start, fifth?
Yeah.
And he's finished eighth. So for him, it was disappointing. They've gone backwards in his mind. And you could say the same thing with Liam as well. But double points is exactly what they needed, because, look, Williams is probably a little bit too far ahead for that P5, but you never know. A couple more double points finishes at the end of the season, they may be able to nab it.
Yeah, well, especially when Williams are having weekends with no points.
Yeah.
But you'll run that down pretty quick if you can get both cars in the points. And it's amazing. We keep saying it's amazing what happens when you qualify well. When you qualify bad, especially on Liam's side, if he has a bad qualifying, you can pretty much throw money on him. He's going to get tangled up with someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Race pace, probably not where they needed to be. Like you said, Lawson, man, 52-odd laps on that medium tyre. That was mega. Hadjar, he was solid, man, without being spectacular, without being the Hadjar that we know. What he did, a two-stopper, he sort of got stuck in traffic. And, yeah, he will be disappointed considering what he qualified fifth. And to finish where he did, he probably would be a little bit disappointed. But, yeah, they were certainly quick on the one-lap stuff, but that race pace has probably let them down just a little bit. They were nowhere near as fast as the Haas
this
weekend.
Definitely. Nevertheless, good result, good double points. And
much needed.
Again, you know, going into the end of the season, particularly for Liam, I think it was one of his best drives of the season, in the sense of just a lot of pressure, grittiness, just one of those drives that I think reminds people just how good he can be on his day. Steak, Kick, Sauber, Green Machine, Hulkenberg, P9 finish in the main race. Got his first Q3 qualifying appearance for the season.
Yep.
Which, when I heard that, I was a bit surprised. I thought he had a few. But poor old Bortoleto.
Oh, man, weekend to forget.
Absolutely. Home race, weekend to forget. The good news was that massive accident, he was able to walk away like it was nothing. And it just it's a testament just to how safe the cars have become.
Yeah, because what was it, man? He was doing like 330-odd Ks, man, when he lost the rear of that car. Yeah,
it was like a 54G impact.
Yeah, well, the first one was like 30-something, and then the second one was like, well above 50. It was kind of an interesting one, because, like, if you watch the replay and you watch the DRS, man, it's like just as he goes to move, the DRS shuts off.
Mm.
So it was like the DRS closed late. Now, whether that's a DRS issue or not, I don't know. But it just looked like just as he jinked to go off the racing line to make the pass, the DRS shut.
Yeah.
And then you could see, man, he just lost the rear of that car. Mate, lucky to walk away from that one.
In hindsight, it was an odd move in a way, because it was a sprint race. You were basically fighting for absolutely no points. You came up, I think it was on, the second last lap of the race. And to pull such a risky move on the wet side of the track, I don't know. It probably does show, or at least highlights the mental state of maybe not being overwhelmed that it was his home race, but perhaps, you know, trying to put on a good show for the home crowd, right?
Might have been trying a little bit too hard. But, I mean, if you think you can make the pass, you got to have a go, right? And like I said, I don't think it was really a lot to do with him moving off the racing line and being ambitious. Like I said, I think if you watch it, you watch the DRS, man, and watch when it closes, it's as he's turning.
Yeah.
To get off the racing line to attempt the pass.
Yeah.
And at that exact time, and then you get the shift in the air pressure over that back wing.
Yeah, definitely would have played a part. Yeah. That was a risky ass move regardless, mate.
Yeah, but.
Like for nothing, for no points, for no. Considering you've got also qualifying just coming up a few hours later, which affected him as well. So from a risk reward perspective, it was, I would say it was a dumb move.
Really? I don't think it was a dumb move.
It was breaking late on a and having to come up onto the left-hand side of the track where it's greasy and greasy conditions. Yeah,
for he probably no felt points. Like he had the grip to do it.
Well, he would have. That's why he attempted it. But, I mean, in hindsight, though, like, I mean, if he was fighting for position and points, for sure.
Well, if you're fighting for position and points, you probably wouldn't even make that move.
Maybe.
Like, there'd be no need to because you'd be in the points.
Possibly.
But, I mean, regardless, man, like, he's been off. He's been off the last few weekends, especially compared to his teammate. Like, Holt just looks comfortable in that car, man.
I'd say the feature race where he went off, though, was pretty unlucky. He probably could have backed out a bit. Stroll would have most likely didn't even know he was even there. So it was clumsy. It was just one of those clumsy.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it just sucks for him because he got a pretty decent start, I think, too. They had a good car. They had a fast car this weekend, and they just didn't convert in the sprint race. Obviously, Hulk, like he qualified 10th in the sprint, and he got he was a victim of the Lando Norris Mario Kart.
Yes, he was ripped off his front wing, didn't he?
Also, too, I think, and you got to mention, it's a good job from the team, man. They almost got Gabby out in qualifying, man. They rebuilt that car.
It was a mess, mate.
they nearly got him out there. Also, I think on Hulk's side, after the sprint, they found he had a gearbox issue. So I think they had to take the gearbox off that car as well. So as a team,
they were earning their money, mate. That's what it was.
Yeah. That was a good job, man. So, yes, they got a point. But they should have had a bit more this weekend.
Well, speaking,
I'm expecting more anyway.
Well, how about this? Were you expecting much more from Alpine? What about Gasly?
Oh boy, he was on one this weekend, man.
He loves Interlagos, doesn't he?
Damn, that thing was competitive.
Yeah, well, he got a point in both races, didn't he? 2 points for the weekend. I think his first point out since
Spa. Yeah,
3 months. First point for Alpine. And, got it done in the sprint race, picked up that final point in P8 and then did the exact same thing in P10 for the feature, and he was looking racy at times and, I think he enjoyed himself.
We thought, like, you know, with the tricky conditions on Saturday, that would certainly bring them back to the pack. From the time Gasly rolled out in that garage, but that car was competitive, and it was
Well, at least Gasly's car was competitive because old Colapinto, he went back into Colapinto mode, didn't he? He just didn't.
He was another one of the victims, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Of the Norris in the sprint.
And he went in so hard, too. When you look at the replay, that was a fair old shunt.
Yeah. So he had to have his car rebuilt. And he basically said after that, he didn't feel like the rear of the car was quite as planted as it was at the beginning of the weekend.
Looked like he was struggling most of the race.
Picked up some damage with the contact with Hamilton as well. So that hurt his race. But Gasly, man, again, he was on a good strategy. He was on that soft medium, and I think that really worked for him. But for me, like, he's probably my driver of the weekend, man. Like, given where that car has been at and just how competitive it was this weekend, like, just for the team morale alone, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's massive.
Yeah, they needed it because it is a long time, you know, go almost 3 months without a point.
Yeah.
And not much to celebrate besides, I guess, the confirmed re-signing of Colapinto.
Yeah.
And then old Gasly comes out and he just does what he does at Interlagos.
Yeah.
Get a corner named after him, mate.
Well, for whatever reason, man, that Alpine is competitive there.
Yeah. Got something going on. But I tell you who's not competitive there, and that's Williams.
Oh, bro.
No one cracked a Q3, did they?
Nope.
So,
No, the best thing that happened to them all weekend was their golf livery.
Yeah, the livery wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Did great.
Plus, I think Sainz started off the weekend. He wasn't very well, eh? So I think he was quite sick.
Yeah.
But, man, look, that car, for whatever reason, is similar to sort of Hungary. Like, they seem to struggle with the longer radius corners.
Mm.
So when there's a lot of load on that tire for quite a long time, they seem to struggle. Albon, probably a little bit unlucky in the sprint. He copped the debris from...
Mate, what view would have he had?
Yeah.
He's just minding his own business, taking on turn one, and a streak of green just goes in front of him.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, exactly. And then he ended up with the front wing under his car.
Did,
and that killed him. But qualifying, man, the issues in qualifying, they need to sort it out. Generally, you could say Sainz has been better in qualifying.
Yeah, definitely lately, yeah.
The tyre issues, and I think after the sprint race, also Albon had to switch back to an old spec floor, and he said that kind of was played a bit of a role in the way it affected his tyres in qualifying. Also, too, man, in the main race, he probably went a little bit too long. He did like 41 laps in that first stint, so that was probably too long for him, and then he just didn't have enough to really recover. I guess 12th shows that there was a bit of pace in that car. I guess the main thing is he finished ahead of his teammate, which he hadn't done in a while. Sainz had contact with Hamilton at turn one at the start of the race, and that gave him front wing damage. And then he had a slow first pit stop as well, which didn't help him. But, yeah, in that inter-team battle, I think, you know, Albon, yes, there's no points, but Albon personally is probably going to be happy he walking away ahead of his teammate.
Aston Martin, Fernando.
Man. Where did they go, man? They faded, bro, hard.
Yeah, they did. They did fade a bit. Qualifying, though, Q3 appearance for Lance Stroll in the... Well, it was Q3 appearance in sprint, wasn't it, for both of them?
Yeah. Yep. So that's what I mean. Like, you started the weekend off so strongly, and then to end up, for whatever reason, after the sprint, I'm guessing they made some changes and it just didn't work because they were...
Was P6 for Fernando on the sprint and P9 for Lance. So, you know, the top 10.
Like, they were in the window 1 minute. After the sprint, they were just completely out of it. It looked like they had the speed, and then... for whatever reason, after the sprint race, they just died in the ass.
Well, Stroll got he did get turned by Tsunoda, wasn't it? It was Stroll, wasn't it?
At the start. But what did he qualify?
P14 in the feature race and Fernando P11.
He was down anyway. He was a fair way down. But, yeah, once he got T-boned. Plus, I think they both started on the hards too, man. That was the wrong tyre. Again, the hard tyre.
Yeah, you're right.
Alonso needed to stay in the truck. I don't know. They've really got to look at what they did over... between the sprint and qualifying, because they muffed it. That's all.
Well,
they muffed it.
Speaking of muffed it, gets worse. Ferrari, double DNF. Although, look, on Charles' side, unlucky. He showed good pace. We knew he'd be pretty quick around here. Sprint race for Ferrari was very disappointing as far as qualifying. Charles, P8 in qualifying. Lewis, P11. And then the sprint race results, both in the points, 5th and 7th. But then come the feature race. Yep, Charlie Boy did the right thing. P3 start, but Lewis just couldn't hook it up, huh? Q2 exit.
Q2. This is the thing, right? This is where I think Lewis is struggling at the moment. On race pace, he's matching Charles. And I think in the sprint race, he actually was probably a bit quicker than Charles. The one-lap stuff he can't get on top of, and that's where – Charles really excels, right? I don't think Charles had the pace to stay in P3. That car did not have the pace all weekend. Lewis said what he struggled in getting the rear tires. Like, he struggled massively, man. Like, did you see the car moving around? Like, couldn't get any traction.
Bit clumsy on his part, though, with that move on Franco, though, huh? Misjudging and then obviously clipping the wheel, damaging his front wing.
Yeah, well, basically front wing went under the car, lost 30 or 40 points of downforce. He tried to stick with it, but probably too dangerous for him to even staying out there. So disappointing, because I think he would have had an all right race despite where he qualified. I think he would have been okay. But massive swing, man. God damn it. They've gone from second to fourth.
Yeah, that's pretty sizable gap, so over 30 points to P2. The interesting thing next time out is how Hamilton can bounce back because, yeah, it was a really disappointing weekend overall. At a track that he's notoriously very good at, gets a lot of support. So, yeah, a real disappointing one on Hamilton's side. So there you have it. Ferrari bringing up the rear with a double DNF, no points. So what do you think? Your driver of the weekend. I mean, you did mention Pierre Gasly as far as being that guy. And I would say, I think he outperformed the machinery, that's for sure. Maximize it.
I mean, look, you could go, Kimi Antonelli, Verstappen, you know, Lawson and Hadjar. As a weekend as a whole, from where they have been to come out and put in a performance like that, for me, that's the driver of the weekend. Yeah, I don't know. Do you agree or
else? I think Gasly is because, I mean, it wasn't just in the feature race. He did it the whole weekend. He did it, you know, he was fast in qualifying. He was fast in the sprint race, got the job done in the feature race. So as far as, overall, I think he is definitely one of the drivers of the weekend. As far as a complete weekend, you could say the same thing with Antonelli, P2s in both, held his own. Lando obviously was just head and shoulders above everyone, was flawless, fast. He's looking like the champion, that championship drives, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Max, great job in the feature race. I just think if you look on the other end of the spectrum, the driver that's going to be the most disappointed, and I think that is Tsunoda. It was just one of the worst weekends, and I feel for him because these last few weekends, again, they've probably already made their decision.
Yeah.
Just not going to release it yet. But if they were giving these guys a little bit of extra time, this was not the weekend to have.
No. You can't be okay one weekend and then miles off the next. Even consistency, you're not showing enough consistency, man. There's just no consistency there. I feel sorry for him because I do like him, but I just think he's in over his head.
Yeah, I just think he's just lacking confidence. And he's probably tried so many different avenues to bring some performance, bring some consistency, and just things aren't quite working. And, I think he's just lost.
Yeah, you end up lost, right? You try so many different things, and then what happens is you get to a point where it's like, oh, shit, I can't even remember what it was that made me feel okay in the first place.
Yeah. He's just chasing, constantly chasing.
Yeah, constantly chasing, exactly right.
Well, there you have it. The Brazilian Grand Prix wrapped up for another year, but I still believe there is still a twist in the tail of this championship. Three race weekends, a maximum of 83 points still up for grabs. And I'd love to know your thoughts at home, whether you think Oscar Piastri or even Max Verstappen can eat into that deficit and perhaps wrestle back that trophy that Lando currently has one hand on. But maybe this is a bridge too far. We have a little challenge trying to get 500 subs by the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. So that's about, four weekends? We need approximately around 120, 130. So we would be greatly appreciative if you do like the content. Give us a big thumbs up and, of course, sub. And Mick, do you want to have one last rip or bite of the cherry? Like I always give you, the final thought.
Oh, man. What can I say? What a weekend. It's a weekend that never fails to deliver. We've seen possibly the championship take full shape this weekend. But weekend off now and a stonking run home to Abu Dhabi. And look forward to bringing you all the content. So until then, make sure you like and subscribe and we'll catch you in the next one.
Catch ya.